Revolution.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
And welcome back on the Liberation Station Radio Show. To surmise, people moving to Florida are often renting. And if you have a landlord problem, I'd be glad to help you. And that's really what I want folks to know, that you need to do a background check on your landlord. And because of people like me who will expose them in the public record, then you can do a background check on them and say, wow, I've done that before, and I've seen, wow, these people have a really good case. So enough of that. And I also needed to mention that yesterday, with a day with the experts in Largo, Florida, I had the wonderful honor of attending. And if you want to see that full video, it is up at gracenetwork.us/COVID. That's gracenetwork.us/COVID. That was, I'll read their announcement. Join us for a special opportunity to hear from industry-leading medical, scientific, and legal experts and get your questions answered on the science behind COVID-19 vaccines and boosters, the role of natural immunity, early treatment, and the impact of COVID-19 and related policy on our local businesses. Featured speakers, Dr. Robert Malone, inventor of mRNA technology, Dr. Peter McCullough, Dr. Sherry Tenpenny, Dr. Carrie Madej, Dr. Joseph Fitzgerald, Dr. Kevin Stillwagon, Dr. Larry Pilevsky, Attorney Jeff Childers, and Robin Openshaw. And if you'd like to hear interviews with four of those who I had the honor of interviewing, Dr. Sherry Tenpenny, Dr. Peter McCullough, and Dr. Kevin Stillwagon, and Dr. Larry Pilevsky, they're at my site at theliberationstation.com, and got them on recently. So you can look at the slideshow on the homepage. And the first slide is the most recent, starts with the most recent interview. November 17th, Wednesday, on National Intel Report, we aired the interview at the start of the show with Dr. Larry Pilevsky, and was done earlier in the day. So you can check that out and go to the archives for National Intel Report for November 17th, and you can hear that. There's also, if you want to find on YouTube, the full video of that day with the experts yesterday, and go to the YouTube channel of Abundant Life Ministries, and you'll find it there. I'm very surprised, pleasantly surprised, that YouTube has allowed it to stay. Maybe they saw all the traffic and said, oh my gosh, we cannot cut out all this ad revenue. That's why I think they do selective banning. The same material gets banned selectively on different channels, or the same channel, and one post might be allowed, another one isn't. Same information that YouTube has, but I don't know why their AI does that, other than maybe they say, this, you're helping us out with their ad revenue, so keep it coming. And okay, I guess we will. It's a lot more benefit to get the information out and cost pharma. I mean, our bigger enemy is the fascist pharma felons, and that's great. Let's play that clip, Sam, if you have it ready. This is Kyle Rittenhouse, drone footage hidden by FBI from the Thinking Conservative channel on YouTube. So go right ahead, please play.
On the evening of August 25th, 2020, following three nights
of riots and arson and terror throughout the city of Kenosha, Wisconsin, Kyle Rittenhouse and another group of armed members of the community, members of the area, decided that they had had enough and they wanted to protect the town, the village, really. I've been to Kenosha. I've walked that area. I've walked those streets, protected from what was going on. These marauders who are coming through and destroying everything in their path. You heard yesterday, if you watched the jury selection, that this was a town that had been terrorized, absolutely terrorized. People were saying, take down your American flags so you don't become a target. Other potential jurors were saying that they had been so terrified that they moved their family out of the county. Other jurors said they couldn't afford to bring their family out of the county, get a hotel, et cetera, for the whole time. So they were sleeping with their children in local churches. That's how bad things got in Kenosha. Human Events Daily has obtained exclusive footage. This is drone footage. And we were told that it comes from the FBI, which had a drone up that evening that captured the entire sequence of events. I warn you, this footage is graphic, and it does include, for the first time ever seen, the final moments between Joseph Rosenbaum and Kyle Rittenhouse. Rosenbaum, of course, we know chases Kyle. His associate, Zeminski, fires at Kyle. Then they disappear on the footage that we've seen behind a series of parked cars in this car lot. That's where the shooting takes place. Now, for the first time ever, we can show you from this drone footage that we're told comes from the FBI what actually happened behind those cars. Here we go.
Hey, Sam, let's go back on the air. Can you hear me? Oh, okay. All right. So that we can't show, but... That was a video from November 3rd, so that was way back then. Let me see, Sam, if I can tell you where to pick that up again. At what time index? That would be a time index. Because that was such a short. That was such a short clip there. So. But it is graphic, you know, showing the death. So if you could pick it up again at time index, right about 4:30. Give me a second here because pick it up again at time index 4:25, please. And I hope I know it's short notice. It'll take a moment if it's going to buffer. All right. Thank you.
Gunshot is fired behind Kyle's back. Rosenbaum then pursues Kyle, corners him behind those cars, lunges at him, and lunges for the rifle in Kyle's hands. Kyle Rittenhouse was not the aggressor, and this footage proves it. The state of Wisconsin, the prosecutors in this case, have had this footage from day one. Why did they not release this? Why did they let the public and the media spin an insane story, a false narrative about what went down? Because we have the footage and you have had it the entire time.
Well, that was Jack Posobiec at The Thinking Conservative. And just to let you know that this is what you hear whenever somebody's prosecuted. Whenever you hear someone is prosecuted, that even though it looks awful at first, there might be some little bit, very short clip of video that shows everything that vindicates you. And that's why it's so important to be your own alibi sometimes. Record yourself just as you're going about your business. Sometimes if you're around somebody who's unpleasant, out in public and walking along, and there might be someone unpleasant who you've met before, and as happened to me a few days ago as I'm riding along. He turned his back, so there was no confrontation, but I was riding along on my bicycle, and I was glad that I had a camera running in at least one camera, and then I grabbed the cell phone out of my pocket you know, since I saw him from a distance, and just picked it up. And, you know, do I sound paranoid? No, you don't. I don't sound paranoid because this fellow's a former neighbor of mine who the landlord allowed to, despite the fact that he admitted to putting dog poop in my walkway, allowed him, and other things, allowed him to stay. So I'm going to leave that right there. But getting back to, you know, just the synchronicities these are, you know, if he's go, I keep that recording, just so you know, I keep those recordings in case he were to claim I ever did something. I mean, he was such a cowardly person. He said he wanted to fight me. He would pay me $1,000 to fight me. And he didn't want to, you know, put my guard up. I put my arms up. Who wants to walk into somebody who's ready to protect themselves with their arms up? And he didn't, you know, he declined. So somebody like that can't help but calling him a coward after so much other stuff I put up with. So this is a, you know, these are reasons to, and I know you didn't hear his side of the story, but that's why I post the video, so you can hear his side of the story. You know, how he's talking to a squatter neighbor about the terrible things he does to me, with whom he does drug deals, or did drug deals, and no longer is there that squatter. But you know, all these problems in the neighborhood, I didn't know about until I should have done a background check, I guess, with talking to some of the other neighbors and going to the neighborhood at night, seeing what it looks like. That's good advice too. If you're going to move to a place, take the time and look at it at night. So see what the neighborhood is like. And now I'm going to get into, I think we're done with Kyle Rittenhouse, unless you would like to call in here. And the Zoom and the Facebook Live are going. You can get the Zoom link at the top of theliberationstation.com next to next show, which is today, dated November 21st, 2021. Click on Join by Zoom. You can call in here on RBN, 512-248-8252. 512-248-8252, toll-free 800-313-9443. That's 1-800-313-9443. And if you'd like to comment on Kyle Rittenhouse, comment on the Florida special session, which I'm about to comment on, and read the commentary of attorney Sean McBride, and or anything else that I've mentioned, or anything else that you think is really important, just give us a call. And you can join us in the chat rooms. I'm going to go look at the Cat Tango chat room now. I apologize for not doing that. I was just busy getting Facebook Live going so people can go in that chat room, and I'll look at that as well in a moment on the next break. As I don't want to slow down my computer, my thoughts too much. Okay, I'm in the Cat Tango chat room, and I'm seeing your chats today. Thanks folks. I'm gonna have to catch up. I apologize for not looking at that sooner, and now we have technical issues squared away completely. I'll go look at that at the next break, and the other chat rooms on Facebook Live, and let's see if I can look at Zoom really quickly here. Yeah, I don't see anything in the chat on Zoom. So there's nobody else there, that's why. So I'm making sure I'm able to look at that and look at all these, the Facebook Live, the Zoom, and the chat, and the Chatango chat room, theliberationstation.com, chatango.com. Well, there's a lot of activity. And let me mention or read what attorney Sean McBride emailed me just today, or just yesterday, I mean, after the Florida special session. Are the news reports as good as you think, is my point, my reason for reading this email. Imagine a few years from now, next virus is spreading. I wouldn't, by the way, I'm interjecting. They have the ball rolling. I don't think they're going to wait a few years. They're going to try to pull their dark winter, unless we try to make it a bright winter, with decentralized solutions, parallel systems,
equitable commerce media like community currencies, time banks, barter networks, cooperatives, swap shops, community gardens. And so that's why I wouldn't wait a few years from now. But continuing, I'll just start over. Imagine a few years from now, next virus is spreading. The media is scared. People are scared based on the statements of the media, but drug companies come to the rescue. Big Pharma has both a vaccine and a treatment available. Other states are reporting the vaccines are great, and not that many people are dying from the side effects. Florida's new and latest state health officer wants to take action to stop the spread of the next virus. I'll interject, they might not wait. Could just be the next variant. They dust off their copy of the Florida Statutes, Chapter 381, and they learn, one, a group of judges have said they can force vaccinate everyone in Florida, even without an emergency. Under 381.0031E, because they can, quote, conduct a communicable disease prevention and control program, .. including .. programs for the prevention and control of vaccine preventable diseases, end quote. Two, they have the power to force treatments under 381.00315 and can use law enforcement to carry it out. And three, they can subject individuals to isolation and quarantine, again under 381.00315. All right, Mike in Kentucky, I see you're on the line. Let me finish this rest of this email very shortly, and we'll get to you. So, where was I? okay, here we are. Point three. They can subject. Yeah, I've read that. Continuing on point. I'll start again with point three. They can subject individuals to isolation and quarantine again under 381.00315. They decide that they'll ship everyone to local high schools and keep them. And I would add maybe stadiums, as there have been FEMA plans. Camp FEMA 1 and 2 are notable examples of pioneering documentaries on it. And there are some others, how they would want to use stadiums. I'm just going to interject here because it's relevant. Where would they put all the people? Yes, in stadiums. But it's interesting that they changed the statute a while back, a few years ago, after I called into a talk show to point out that there's a Florida statute that had said that all publicly funded stadiums must be used whenever there's an emergency to house the homeless. And then that was changed afterwards, but don't doubt that it would still be a plan if the feds take over, especially. Look for that. How would you know who's in a stadium if you're not inside or have a drone to look inside? And I'm just going to start this paragraph again. They decide that they'll ship everyone to local high schools and keep them locked inside until they are both vaccinated and treated. Everyone is forced to sleep on the floors and shower in the communal locker room. At some high schools, the quarantined are being kept in cages in the parking lot because the school is full. All of this would be allowed by the wording of Florida law, even under the revised Chapter 381 that removed the word vaccination. We can make a better Chapter 381. We can learn from other states and add protections and human rights concepts to the law. Even after the changes in the 2021 special session, Florida still has one of the most powerful public health laws, vesting vast powers in the state health officer. Here are some common sense changes that would be made to Chapter 381 to bring common sense reform to the state's extreme power and still allow the state to deal with genuine public health emergencies. One, end the state health officer's non-emergency authority to vaccinate the group of judges. The group of judges says exist under 381.0031E. End the state health officer's ability to force treatments. And then point three, comprehensively rework Section 381 to add due process. The state should have the burden of proof to prove beyond a reasonable doubt that any actions they take for public health are necessary. Add humane concepts to isolation and quarantine. And I'm just going to interject that once you're shot up, it's a little too late to ask for an injunction. This is a, the rule of law, the rule of emergency knows no law. And that's when we need it most. That's when we need it under the Constitution was being formed. You know, we had so much adversity and death from communicable diseases. They knew were communicable at the time. They knew they had microscopes. They knew they at least suspected that diseases were caused by germs. And it was interesting yesterday that George Washington, being a slave owner, considered his slaves his property. Being mentioned yesterday at the Day with the Experts, that is by the pastor, the Day with the Experts in Largo that I mentioned earlier, that he forcibly shot up his troops as well with smallpox shots. And it needs to be pointed out, that was before the Constitution was drafted. So as horrific as that was, yes, we won the war despite the smallpox shots. Despite the smallpox shots, not because of them. Okay, that was before the Constitution was drafted. Okay, so that needs to be pointed out. And that's why we need our rights the most. We've been conditioned to give them up since 1933 in the War and Emergency Powers Act. Senate Report 93-549 explains that we have been in a state of national emergency where the president can rule without reference to normal constitutional processes. And continuing, when a person is the person quarantined or isolated should be entitled to prompt judicial review, and the state should have to prove beyond a reasonable doubt that the quarantine or isolation is required for public health and that the impacts on liberty are the minimum needed in the circumstances. The quarantine and isolation should be the minimum needed to control the public health concern, including allowing, if possible, allowing the person to remain in their home. For the quarantined and isolated remaining in their home, no unnecessary modifications should be required, such as adding rooms, bathrooms, etc. 4. Revised 381.0026, that's Florida Statute 381.0026, to allow patients to decline any treatments. Right now they can, but it's subject to quote-unquote other law. And to ensure that all patients can have a loved one or advocate visiting them and looking over them during any medical visit, the current law has loophole being abused. And I would also advise that before you go to get into a hospital, if you decide to go to a hospital, then learn the patient's Bill of Rights here in Florida statutes, that loophole, that other law. I'm not sure to what he's referring, that the Florida statutes patient's Bill of Rights allows patients to decline any treatment. And attorney Sean McBride says it's subjected to other law, but I'm going to have to ask him what that was. And by the way, he was on my show also a few months ago, if you want to check that out, theliberationstation.com. And so have a treating doctor before you go in and become aware of the patient's Bill of Rights. Let them know you're aware. Things like, I have the right to be treated or not be treated with what I like. I have a right to know who is treating me, the doctors, the nurses, and you get to get all their names. You'd be surprised. I had a Dr. Stephen Gufanti, in the absence of any other treating doctor, he was trying to be the patient advocate. I interviewed him on my show also, if you want to see, about 3 months ago, 4 months ago. Dr. Stephen Gufanti, he was trying to be patient advocate for his roommate who was being mistreated. He felt there were no doctors, he claims, answering. Nurses should take his advice as a treating doctor, he still does have his license. So Keith, his roommate, delegated his authority as to be his treating doctor. And then he was put on a ventilator, and that was last I heard. After 2 or 3 weeks, he was still on the ventilator, which surprised me, though maybe it's because he has good endurance being an athlete. I'm going to have to check up on that again to try to see where this has gone. So many things on my plate to check up on. But the Dr. Stephen Gufani was put in four-point restraints before he was released, and they didn't know what to do with him. That was Sarasota Memorial Hospital, the big demonstration of well over 50 people about that. Or it was also about the around that time, the Dr. Sherry Tenpenny's executive director's father was put in the hospital and mistreated and died, and at that same hospital. So this was at the same time that happened, shortly after Keith being abused and Dr. Stephen Gufanti put in four-point restraints. I'm not going to go into that for the sake of time any further. I'm just going to continue reading this, that just so you have the information, the knowledge, if you feel like you have to go into the hospital to know what to do. And now number five, lastly, if a citizen challenges the state for abusing power or not meeting its burden of proof and wins, the citizen gets their legal fees reimbursed. These are common sense ideas that any elected official that supports liberty can get behind. It still allows the state to deal with emergency situations, but it limits powers to those needed to deal with it and avoids excesses. These concepts can be reduced to written law. The American Freedom Information Institute Incorporated, that's Sean McBride's organization, amfreedomii.com is his site, amfreedomii.com, is willing to work with any representative, senator, or government that wants to advance these concepts to write citizen protective language in law. They may contact our office at the number below. If you are supportive of this legislation, tell your representative and senator. You should also tell the governor. Representative Sabatini is of the opinion that the path to legislative change in Florida is through getting the governor to pressure the legislature to fulfill the will of the citizens. Thoughts, questions, let me know. Sean, that's Sean, Attorney Sean McBride. And his number, 407-349-3085, amfreedomii.com, 407-349-3085. And Mike in Kentucky, how are you and what's on your mind?
Forms and how things will fly some places and not others, even in the, well, you would say the big platforms. I got kicked off of BitChute and with no good explanation reason given. I appealed and they put me back on there, but one of my videos out of four was missing. And all they said was other platform abuse. So I'm left hanging wondering what the heck I'm, you know, to avoid doing in the future to get kicked off for, quote, generic other platform abuse.
Wow. Yeah, you think that a platform like that would tell you.
Well, you would think, yeah, but, you know, BitChute has a reputation for allowing a lot of stuff compared to, you know, obviously yeah. YouTube and others like that, but, you know, Facebook or whatever. I've never actually been put in what people are calling Facebook jail, but
yeah.
You don't really know because I've had likes disappear and other various shadow ban techniques where I'll get a notice where somebody liked a post of mine. Like, I just got a notice where a post was liked for one of these guys on RBN, Mike, one of the board operators. I made a post and tagged him in it. And somebody just liked it on his profile, and it's been, like, weeks ago, so you don't know.
things like that. I'll tell you some things when we get back here that I've seen that you can document and show that Facebook fraud. All right, we'll be right back, Mike, after this break here on Liberation Station Radio Show. We'll stay tuned and be right back.
handle the truth.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Real news, real talk, real people. Because you can handle the truth.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network.
Hey gang, Patrick Slattery here with an important message that is pertinent to anyone who shops for groceries, eats food, or just has an inquisitive mind like myself. What I'm about to introduce you to is a segment of our food culture that has been kept so low profile to the American public that virtually no one is aware of how dominant it is on our refrigerator and cupboard shelves. What I'm talking about is the kosher certification industry and a new app, Koshertified, that delivers a comprehensive education on all aspects regarding this little-known practice. After reviewing this app, I found that it is useful for practically anyone who purchases food, regardless of their religious faith or identity. Its database of products not kosher certified is a win-win convenience for all food-conscious people. So why not check out thekosherquestion.com or click on the link at nationalbugle.com and see how modifying your grocery shopping with the Koshertified app can make a huge difference for your future.
The reviews for Extendivite are amazing. Amazon customer: it's amazing. I just ordered my second bottle. In 1 month, my blood pressure dropped significantly. I no longer get chest pain after I exercise. The reviews are spot on. My target is to get off of BP meds, and if it keeps going like this, I see a light at the end of the tunnel. Amazon customer: Extendivite works great. This product has made my blood pressure and cholesterol stable. I highly recommend it. Amazon customer: excellent herbal formula. I've been using it to keep my cardiovascular system fine-tuned. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Back here on Liberation Station Radio Show with Mike in Kentucky. I'm Chris Steiner, and Mike, you're saying that you're having BitChute issues where they're not telling you.
Well, not
what,
just BitChute, but that they are surprised. Mike, at RBN, that I would get banned off of BitChute. He was like, "What the heck?" You know. And I think it might have been one of my videos that I posted, but I don't know because I don't know what 4 videos I posted there. But the remaining 3 had to do with what I consider illegal domestic spying operations that's been going on since probably at least the 1990s, but maybe even back to the 1940s, you know. But all these huge, there's a lot of various techniques that I've observed myself, you know, where like somebody will share one of my posts and I'll go to comment on there, thanks for the share or something. You know, you can click on who shared your post and then it'll say there's, you know, 5 comments. You click on comments, and it will show you the other comments, but the comment button is missing, so you can't comment on it. Well, then I went to this one person's wall, and they post a lot on Facebook. So it took me like 30 minutes to scroll down to the date that they shared my post, and when I commented on that post on their wall where I could then see the comment thing, Facebook dinged me for spamming or something crappy. I mean, just it's endless, your imagination, the ways that they can shadow ban and screw with you on these platforms if you're not liked. And I think that it's built up by people who played role-playing games, you know, where you have a character and you roll the dice and you get so many hit points or whatever, and your online doppelganger character can be ranked up or down depending on your behavior on there, and constantly adjusted in their algorithms. And they build it where it can be automatic, so they don't have to bother any of their dirt cheap labor on the other side of the planet, you know, working in a computer room, suffering from post-traumatic stress disorder because of their accuracy goes below 90% or something, they're on probation and they'll lose their job. You know, that's a lot of the artificial intelligence, I think, is not actually artificial intelligence. I think it's dirt cheap labor in a computer room on the other side of the planet. And, there's people that are so enamored with the American culture or different foreign cultures that they sit there all day and they're acting as administrators to approve or censor posts. And there's articles been written about how they suffer from post-traumatic stress disorder and stuff from being under the gun to be super accurate in the way that they censor things on different platforms.
I'm not surprised that they're using people to do it too, because they have labor. What's that?
Dirt cheap labor, race to the bottom.
Mm. Right.
And they can make it appear like it's artificial intelligence, but anyway, to link this to the topic you're talking about, I posted a section of the United States Code, Title 21 United States Code, up on Facebook. And I had to redo the post because it was getting censored. And in Title 21, United States Code, we find the motivation to censor a lot of this stuff, the research, because under the emergency use authorization provisions, and I haven't heard anybody write up an article about this except me, subparagraph or clause 3 on appropriate conditions designed to ensure that individuals to whom these products is administered are informed. Go down to subparagraph C, or 3, or it's three little I's, and Cornell has the code up, which I put a link on there. If you don't recognize any of these alternatives, you don't have to be informed, okay? Because in that paragraph it says that you have to be informed of the option to accept or refuse administration of the emergency use authorization product. In this case, it would be a vaccine. Of the consequences, if any, of the refusing of the administration of the product, and here's the catch, and of the alternatives to the product that are available, and of their benefits and risks. So written right in there under this emergency youth authorization is that you have to be informed of anything that's an alternative to the shot. Therefore, they cannot allow an alternative, otherwise you would be allowed to be informed of it, so they therefore have to censor it all. So if there's no alternatives ever recognized, you don't have any right to be informed, and it's a great reason to censor it. It's a real catch-22 written into the code, and that's in Title 21. Anybody wants to look it up, I've got it on my TV10 Newslines group, and they didn't censor it after I redid the quote by putting spaces in to an article from Children's Health Defense Network. I removed the spaces in there, and you can do that so that people can then paste the link and then take out the spaces, and it'll reduce some of the flagging. I mean, so we have to use guerrilla warfare techniques on these platforms. Another thing that I did in the Messenger on Facebook, I found in a subfolder called Unread Messages where these spammers were sending stuff out, and I can't send stuff out to 200 people, right? But wherever they're at in some other country, they could spam out stuff to 190 people. Well, the link might be malware or something. So you go to the link in there without touching the link. You click the profile name and go back to the profile and look at it and see, yeah, this is obviously some spammer. So you can report the profile. The profile then gets suspended until the authenticity of it is confirmed. You go back to that message, it's now in yellow, and you can add as many of your real-world friends as you want to that message, and you've also got those other 150 or 190 real people in there. You can then get the word out in kind of like a guerrilla warfare technique to these people on this platform that are being censored, Facebook zombies, whatever you want to call them. And Facebook has never censored any of those messages that I've done that with. Now, I've had people get really irritated. Who are you? How did you get in my Facebook? And I said, and I have to explain it. This is a spammer's message that they bought these names. You were in it.
Well, you got to, you just would want to change your password. Are you saying if somebody hacked your account to send emails?
Well,
or they spoofed your, it looks like it's from your account, but you never sent it. Is that what you're saying?
Well, no, the NSO has sold this software called Pegasus all around the world.
Right.
It's probably up for sale on the dark web. You don't even have to open a message anymore for somebody to hijack your device. That's why I recommend do not use apps. Only check your email or your Facebook Messenger through a web browser. That way you're not opening any attachments automatically. See, apps will kind of reserve a section of your memory in your phone or tablet or computer, and that section of that memory is where that code can be opened without you even opening the email. That's the way that Pegasus software works. So, I mean, there's, you know, Snowden did something about it, a little video about it, but, you know, you can pick up on that Pegasus software. There's a bunch of articles that don't really get into how it works, but you don't even have to open a message anymore. But no, these spammer messages are often hidden in your unread message bin or something like that, and you can go, and if they're within the last week or so, if they've been sent, it's still an active profile, but Facebook will eventually catch that profile and deactivate it. But if you do it, then you can hijack that message, and then you've got an open message there to send out, you know, whatever, 200 or 300 people, and it's for whatever reason in the way they've written their code. And I'm letting the cat out of the bag here because on this open show that it could get fixed after I talk about it. I've told enough people about it that they still haven't fixed it, though. Maybe something they can't fix. I don't know. Sometimes you have to wonder if that's why they redo these platforms every so often, like they're getting ready to call it Meta, and I don't know what all is going to be involved in that. But Facebook, so far as I can tell, it's not changed.
I don't know why they chose Meta when there's so many other good synonyms like Supra or Over or even trans. They could go with trans if they wanted to. That's another good synonym for Meta. Anyway,
human domain, the human domain or something. They could come up with something that's a little more accurate. I guess you heard that the Pentagon abandoned some project that they had, LifeLog, pretty much the same day that Facebook filed to do business. It's like, you know, well, why should we compete with ourselves? You know, but the Pentagon had some kind of project that was very similar to Facebook, you know, whatever, 12, 15 years ago.
Right. Yeah, I remember reading
They gave it up. So, when you were talking earlier.
Founders. Like Intutel's are founders. Go ahead.
You were talking earlier about the code being hijacked for a lot of these programs and stuff. But I heard a lot of these routines for social media and other software came out of a group of programmers that were assigned the task to fix the AT&T POP3 mail server problems that they were having in the 90s. And there's this lawsuit that occasionally you'll hear about that keeps getting thrown out of court, and they keep trying to get it back in court, where they, you know, a lot of these, I think it might have been MySpace and AT&T's Hancock software, if you've ever heard of that, and Facebook, and I don't know what else. They all took parts of that key subroutines for that program, plagiarized it, and built on it. And so there's like this billion-dollar lawsuit that keeps bouncing around and getting kicked out of court over all that. That's where a lot of this code has this common source. It's still vulnerable because of that, because that code wasn't, you know, super tight back in the 90s. And so,
anybody can spoof your email? Is that one of the things that they could make it look like there's?
Who knows?
Sending?
They can spoof a lot of stuff. I've heard emails even getting censored. If you send out something that's considered disinformation, you might get an email back that says message undeliverable. And unless you call them up and find out, well, is your email still good? Did you change your email? You don't know.
Right.
Think that you're left hanging to think that somebody's email is a dead letter box, but it's because you, Yahoo, or whoever intercepted the message as disinformation. And
It's just a show announcement, and I'm getting it banned. You know, it just announced as my show and maybe a guest, and I'm getting it banned. You know, I'm seeing it, for example, sent to bounced back from a friend who's an activist. I'm always getting emails from him. This is a Yahoo bounce back situation I'm talking about a couple times. So yeah. I wonder, wow, what happened to him? He's always sending me emails. Why would he suddenly go dead? No, he's still quite alive. that's how they do these when they do these things on social networks. They make you think that, wow, the other person doesn't like me anymore. I must have done something bad, right?
Shadow man.
Yes, right. I've seen where like a national or Nurses for Vaccine Safety Alliance made a video on my Facebook page. What I'm going to tell you here is that they were not able to be found by the search term, exact search term, Nurses for Vaccine Safety Alliance Incorporated. And then later on, Zuckerberg testifies that, well, we don't make it easier for you to find these kinds of vaccine sites or pages or groups, but if you search for them exactly, then you'll find them. So he committed perjury, or maybe, I don't know what I don't know what the situation was at the time he testified, but
A lot of times they agree to come in, they're not under oath, and then so they can't be held in contempt of Congress, but they, you know, they'll threaten, so, well, we can't subpoena this information, which tells you right then they're not under oath, you know, because they're not under subpoena, which would allow them to be held in contempt. So sometimes you can pick up the clues. But I'm a fan of Utah Gun Exchange video platform, and I don't know if it has glitches or maybe I just don't know the double super secret handshake or whatever, but when YouTube was doing all this purging, I took some of my content over there, and I went to several people's houses where they leave me in the living room with the remote for their smart TV, and I'll just test it out to see if I can find Utah Gun Exchange and my profile on there. And the only way I've been able to find my videos is to type in the word ghost call. If I add an S to it, it won't come up. If I type in ghost call, it comes up. I can type in my name, type in the exact address, and it won't show up. I had the same problem with Facebook, and people couldn't find me on Facebook. And then I'd tell them, all right, we'll just type in this exact address to your web browser. They would find it that way, and they were logged in. No add friend box. They couldn't send me a message or couldn't add friend me. They couldn't send me a poke box. I mean, you know, the little poke box even was missing when they had that on my profile for some people, and I wouldn't show up in the search results, even using my exact address. So you get to, you know, some people are persona non grata on the Internet, and it's like they want to string you along to see who you're really connected to build out your X key score and your AT&T software, Hancock software, where they build out your all-known associates out to two rings around you and then try to connect you up with somebody. The alarming thing that I've ran into in the last 25 years is the use of doppelgangers or stunt doubles, people that you run into that in your community that showed up that looked just like you. And like maybe they've been given a contract to work for a local university, or they've been given a job for a local school system or something, and they look just like you. And so how hard would it be to, you know, set them up like supposedly Lee Harvey McVeigh, or as I like to call him, Tim McVeigh, was in a McDonald's at the same time he was supposed to be renting a Ryder truck, you know? You get two lookalikes.
Like I said, you have to be your own alibi as often as much as you can.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Really. If you spend a lot of time alone, then you could be set up for something and don't have an alibi.
Use reverse face recognition search and think that they found you, you know, and they say these are similar.
The larger the database, the larger or the more false positives they can be, but they can also find somebody that looks just like you, manipulate them into your arena, and then use them as a stunt double. In China, if you know, like I'm very pro, what do they call those, structured tests, you know, the achievement tests that they have in a school. I think they're very nice, and I say that I am pro-test. Bing, your call gets dropped because the word protest is not allowed on phones. They've been doing that in China for probably over a decade. That's how fast their computers are. Or they've deployed them in parallel processing so that you know, you quote Shakespeare, methinks the lady doth protest too much, bing, your call drops. So this is not just limited to Facebook and YouTube and that kind of stuff. You can be talking to somebody, and all of a sudden their phone starts tiling out. You know, and it's they've decided that that conversation needs to end, and they're going to drop your phone call. So these digital platforms can be so messed with in so many ways that I think we're just now seeing, most people are ignorant of the idea that or the concepts here, things like shadow ban and downranking that can go across all these different means of communication. So
yeah,
I'm becoming more and more a fan of shortwave and free-to-air satellite, you know.
Yeah, you know, we have to have a variety, variety of different sources to, the shows we listen to that, in order to know that we could call in if we needed to sometime, if say what's going on in this part of the world, and
RBN has a bunch of those alternate phone numbers, and there's been occasion where I've had to try to, it'd probably be a good idea to have a screenshot of all the contact info that's on the pages like for RBN, so that if
are you there, Mike? All right. Mike dropped. Sorry about that. Save contact information of your friends too. That's super important and very liberating to know that you know who to call or where to go if you need to, and what to bring and what not to bring, what they've got and what they need of yours, and it's also good to. With your friends, the next best thing to building a commune, I guess, or what do they call them? Resilient, intentional communities and things like that is just to hang out with your friends, find out how they do their stuff, their chores or whatever, their things that need to be done, just things around their house or their daily life, and vice versa. They learn about how you do things. So if they have to go without, what kind of cat food their cat will eat or whatever that needs to be done just the right way your help might be a little bit unwelcome if you don't know what you're doing. So that's important to know, how you do stuff and the procedures, the processes. And, when it comes to self-censorship, I want to mention that talking about all these people who self-censor, they censor others on the web, talk show hosts, or in the case of what I was mentioning before, host who lets his control board op take over, cut people off. I posted this comment on that Facebook Live video as covering earlier. Walter, do you know what's awful about self-censorship? It spills over into every aspect of one's thoughts, causing one to be insincere, putting needless energy into calculating one's expression, leading to suppressed emotions that may cause one to neglect one's own health and to even act out of hand. Mobili, that's his controls a producer board up, being an example who you allow to speak out of hand. When I just addressed you specifically and repeatedly, meaning I addressed him by name, I said, I'm talking to you, not Mobili. He keeps hanging up on me. So that's why I said that. And continuing, this feeds not only his own insecurities, like about discussing specifically his self-described communist revolutionary ideas, but your own too. Decentralization, which communists don't promote, is key for better economy, ecology, energy sources, communication, agriculture, sustainability, and freedom. And freedom is the idea here when it comes to Rittenhouse. That was the topic. Kyle Rittenhouse's acquittal, which they were outraged to hear about, and even more outraged when I tried to explain it to them. So if you want to hear me talk about that, listen to from the start of the show. Oh, thanks. All right. And all right, I'll get to you, Ed, just a moment. I'm just going to mention the importance of this study that came out, P people testing negative for COVID-19 despite exposure may have, quote, immune memory, end quote. That's in The Guardian, November 10th, 2021, subtitled, study says some individuals clear virus rapidly due to a strong immune response from existing T cells, meaning test record negative result. It's all in the T cells, folks. That's the main thing. If you're going to talk about immunity, and when they talk about immunity, like Fauci or others, they're only talking about the antibody, last line of defense, can neutralize only one infected cell per antibody. And T cells are the first line of defense, get mobilized first. Antibodies maybe later if there's a lingering infection or if you've overcome the infection. T cells can neutralize several infected cells. So you may have T cells, never develop antibodies, and you are just as immune. Okay, so we have Ed in Iowa. What's on your mind?
Hello, Chris. How are you?
I'm well. How about you?
I'm good. It's fixing to get cold here, but other than that.
I'm kind of hoping for it, but I'm in Florida, so I can hope.
Yeah, right. I am a expert on the organic law of this country. And I don't know if you've ever read the court cases where they talk about organic law. When they refer to organic law, they mean the law that was created in this country versus the way it was created in England. In other words, it's the common law, but they make the distinction between the two by saying organic law, and that means the law of this land. And so, many years ago, I started studying. I started studying back in about 1980, I guess, on all this and trying to learn what was going on in this country, trying to figure out what was the free-for-all all about. And I happened to trip on, by reading what I read, the real cause. And I don't know, there's nobody in this country that I'm aware of that's even talking about this. If they do, they come close, but they don't go all the way with the full explanation of it, see? So the problem we have started not in 1933. It started at the Civil War, before the Civil War, really. Slightly before it, maybe 1860.
13th and 14th Amendments?
Well, no, that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about, this is what I learned. I learned the jurisprudence of law. Okay, that means the science of law. Whenever you learn something about anything, you must learn the science first. And so you're going to a break, right?
Yeah, Ed, sorry about the show ending. How about you give us a call here, or you can join me on the Tuesday show, 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern Time on 6 Florida stations, theliberationstation.com. Or be back here on RBN next Sunday, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. And I'd encourage folks to call C-SPAN, call into your talk shows, tell them what's going on with Kyle Rittenhouse, and tune into the show and call into my show if you have anything to say. And go in the chat room and Zoom. We'll have it going again for every show continuing on forward. Until next time, take great care.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. owner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855, the number 2, keep it today.